One of the most popular movies when I was a small child was Home Alone. If some of you remember, it's a kind of far-fetched story. I didn't realize how far-fetched it was until I became a parent myself. Yeah. But basically, you know, there's a large extended family. They're staying at a house, and they are going on a vacation, and they oversleep. I have no idea how they could oversleep. But they oversleep and forget a child. And like, I can understand more, I think it's more reasonable to forget a child than to oversleep before a big flight. I feel like if I was going to go on that flight, I would have set 15 different alarms and sat awake from like 3 a.m., just smoldering with no one else awake, just waiting for it to happen so that I wouldn't miss it. I would have all our passports in a gallon Ziploc bag taped to my chest so that I could not lose it at all. I would have, last year, if some of you may remember, right after we had a service on Christmas Day, because Christmas Day was on a Sunday, and my family caught a flight to Switzerland at noon. We went there to go visit my sister. We barely made the flight, but got it. It was great. Switzerland is great when you can stay with family and you don't have to pay hotels. It was wonderful. But on our way back, my brother-in-law was driving us back, and we were on our way back, and I couldn't find the passports. And through my head, I was like, the first call was like, okay, I got to call Vicky and let her know I'm not coming back for Sunday. And then we'll have to go to the embassy and get this. Oh, it's all horrible. Well, how could I do this? And then we found them, and it was fine. But that idea of, you know, before a flight, before a big event, you got to get ready and stay awake. And wake up and keep alert. And I think that so much with this passage today, with this first Sunday of Advent, with this call to stay alert. But how many of us are preparing for Jesus' coming like we prepare for an international flight, right? I don't. I think that's a call. It's something that's happened. We know when it's coming. We have a date. Like, how can we prepare our hearts? What is it going to take to be ready? What is it going to take to wake up and stay alert? What Mark is talking about uses stark imagery. There's darkness. The sun is dark in Isaiah 2. It's like really stark and dramatic. What is it going to take to wake up? The day of the Lord is coming. Jesus is coming. And I don't know about you, but I need a few more alarms in my life to get ready. The language in Mark is often referred to as apocalyptic. Now, apocalyptic makes you think about like zombie movies or volcanoes and things like that. When it doesn't have anything to do with that, it's really apocalypto means what is to reveal something. That's why the last book of the Bible is referred to as the Apocalypse of John or the Revelation of John, because they both mean the same thing. It's apocalyptic because it all will be revealed. Christ will be revealed in all of his glory. Nothing, no doubt, will remain about it. The day of the Lord is when that reality is revealed to all the world. St. Cyril of Alexandria says, "We do not preach only one coming of Christ, but a second one as well, much more glorious than the first. The first coming was marked by patience." That's this season of Advent. It's marked by patience, by this waiting. "The second will bring the crown of a divine kingdom." And that is a beautiful day and a terrible day. It's a beautiful day for all the ways that we are ready. All the ways that we already love our neighbor. All the ways that we are already faithful to the God who loves us, who forgives us. That we live lives responding to God's grace. It's terrible in the ways that we do not. In the ways that we are not ready. The ways that we are not alert. The ways that we live lives of practical atheism. Or ways that we think of discipleship just as time commitments and not as gifts from God. Stay alert. This is not a passage to be read about other people's lives. This is not something to think about, well, at least I'm as faithful as that person. It's like, no. Mark is talking to you. Mark is talking to me. This isn't about the other people in your life that you can talk about or refer to. Are you ready? Are you alert? Advent begins every year in the least Advent-y way possible. It doesn't begin with beautiful stars. It begins with the sky turning black, the day of the Lord. The first Sunday is not the announcement of Mary that you are to bear a child. It's not this, oh, yay, Christmas is coming. Yay, we can remember our childhood songs and forget about ourselves. No, it is the day of the Lord is coming. Stay alert. Wake up. All will be revealed. Are you ready for everything to be laid bare? Now, so one way to respond to this is cocooning ourselves and just say like, I'm just going to forget about that. I'm going to sing my carols and be happy and do my decorations. And I don't want to change. What if we don't change? What if I'm not ready? What if I get ready next year? What if maybe, God, just give me like 5 more Advents and then I'll be ready. Advent comes every year. Come on. I don't need to be doing it this year. Maybe next year I can change. Maybe next year I can work on my discipleship. I can really love my neighbor. I can really stretch my heart. But this year, I'm not ready for that. Next year I'll take my faith seriously. I promise you, God, I'll take loving my neighbor seriously, but not right now. It's going to come again, and it'll just fly by, and January will be here soon, so I might as well not think about it. And it's so easy to fall into that trap, right? It's so easy. Time goes so fast. Before we know it, it'll be Christmas, and then it'll be New Year, and then it'll be Easter, and that's what it feels like with the church calendar. It's like suddenly it happens. And so unless we are intentional with how we respond, we're just going to sleep on through Advent. We're not going to wake up. We're not going to stay alert, and we're not going to be ready when Jesus comes. Who are we prioritizing when we tell God to give us this space? When we tell God, and we may be explicit or we may be implicit in our actions. We may be implicit to God that we are not ready and we don't want to be. But what do we prioritize when we do this? Oh God, I'm just not in a good place to love my neighbor right now. And we hear the absurdity when that is even voiced. Not in a good place to love. What? Not in a good place to have an amazing gift of God and forgiveness? Like, it doesn't really make sense when you process it. So often we don't. I confess that myself. So often I don't process it. I leave it short and let it go so then I can move on and not have to pay attention and not have to be ready for what God is really, that transformation that is coming for my life, that transformation that is ready for each of our lives, of being turned into saints of God, the promise of God for us. We need reminders that God is calling us to stay alert to a gift that he is sending. We need to be ready. And it's like, imagine if you bought this amazing present for someone in your life and there was going to be a sign-off one. And you had to stay during a certain hour because if you missed it, then you'd have to go to the post office and wait in line for like 6 hours. So you're going to stay home and make sure you sign off on that present because it matters to you. That's the gift that God is sending us, a gift. We need to be ready to accept a gift. We don't need to be thinking about the sky turning dark. That's just the reality of when we don't accept the gift. Because that's what our hearts look like when we don't have love. It looks like the darkness of that sky and that threat when we shut ourselves off from the people in our lives, when we shut ourselves off from our neighbors. Are you aware that God has created you for a specific purpose? Are you aware that you are loved? That you are forgiven? Are you aware that you can see the face of God as you love your neighbor? As you feed the hungry? As you clothe the naked? As you visit the imprisoned? That you see the face of God? That gift is there for you. What are you waiting for? What is better than that? Now, a lot of things seem more convenient, of course, and they seem more convenient because they're more in line with our lives of not following God. When the rich young ruler asked Jesus what the greatest commandment is, his first answer is the Shema from Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And the second is likewise, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? If we cannot answer that question, how can we respond to the love of God? How can we be ready? How can we stay alert if we can't quickly answer that? Now, one answer, this happens to Jesus. It's one of those great, great moments in the Bible when you're like, you're reading along and you're like, wow, I wonder, who is my neighbor? Who is Jesus talking about? And then someone asks him, Jesus, who is my neighbor? And it's great. It's like, oh, thanks. Thanks for asking that question. And Jesus answers with the parable of the Good Samaritan, which kind of cuts back against that. If you remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, you have the man injured on the side of the road. You have the Levite, the priest in his garb, who's walking past and doesn't have time for it. It doesn't act like a neighbor. You have the Pharisee, who's like the lay leader. Not like Jim. Jim's a good lay leader. But this Pharisee is like, that's what the Pharisees were. They weren't priests, but they were really high up in the church. And so, but he still sees the person on the side of the road, just doesn't have time. He may have a good reason. He has a good reason in his mind why he can't do it, but he doesn't. So then the Samaritan. The Samaritan, who really is a migrant. The Samaritan is not from that place. The Samaritan is not a Jew. The Samaritan is not connected. The Samaritan is an immigrant passing through. We don't know why he's going, but he stops. And he cares and he loves. And he is the one who shows what it's like to be a neighbor. When Jesus is asked, who is my neighbor? The answer he gives is the migrant passing through who shows mercy. Today for our offering, and just a little bit after the service, the communion offering for today is to the UMCOR Refugee Response Ministry, which is a large international response all over the world. And so this UMCOR is in Macedonia processing Syrian refugees. They are everywhere. They are down, they are here in the United States with refugees here. They are wherever it is. Our church is present there. And so there's a way to give a response. But that's one answer. That's not the only one. So one answer is the people around you who show mercy. Like, you are a neighbor when you are showing mercy. The other way to think about the question is the people literally next to you in your life. Who are the people next to you? How are you connected? Both next to you right now in this church service, and some of you have been sitting next to the same people for 20 years, and so you might be really close. Some of you have not. And it's one of those things, you know, one of those challenges. And I'm like that. When I used to not be in ministry, I sat in the same place every Sunday. It was in the very back as the closest entrance. I joke, I used to go to First Methodist downtown when I was a student because there are 6 exits. And so I could always sit near an exit where there wasn't going to be a preacher. And I could always get out without that. So I understand when people sneak out without shaking my hands, like, I'm with you. I would be in the same place. But it's still that habit of sitting in the same place means we don't get to know the rest of the people around us. But it's still, it gets even more tender than that, at least for me, with who are the people we live next to. And that's what this sheet is for. Hopefully most of you had this. I kind of had to run a few copies. We can run more copies too. This is from Church of the Resurrection in Kansas City. They did a whole sermon series on this. But it's it's just a little worksheet for yourself. I'm not grading you for it. It's not for evangelism. Like, that's not the point, is not to invite people to church. It's the day of the Lord is coming. Who is your neighbor? Do you know them? Can you say that you love your neighbor as yourself? And so it's like basically, so the 8 people closest to you, you could, you know, however you interpret that, to write their names down. That's one of the tricky things for me that when we moved into the new house, I learned a lot of people's names and, you know, had these ambitions of how we were going to be connected to them. And then a year goes by and I wave, but I have no idea what their names are. And that kind of thing. Like, I'm a pastor, I should be better at this. So I'm doing this as much for me and my family as for anybody else. So you all can hold me accountable to how I am doing with this. The second, the B is to write down some relevant information about the people next to you, something you wouldn't see from the doorway. So not how they have this amazing Christmas light display this year. Because anybody can see that. But like, who are they? What's a way that you can just have this get to know your neighbor, because you can't love someone you don't know in that way. And then write down, C is write down something you would only know after connecting with your neighbor. Yeah, again, like this is not a quiz. This is not for you. I'm not going to be grading. God is not grading. God is not going to look down if you come back in January and you haven't touched this at all. There's not going to be like, oh, he goes in this book going on. This is, you know, it's an opportunity. It's a tool of the gift of love, really. That's what when Jesus summarizes the commandments as love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. He's offering that to us. This is the gift of God, that you can love your neighbor as yourself. It's a way to help us in that process, so that the day of the Lord coming is not, we're not thinking about the black sun going on. We're thinking about the star over the manger, the shepherds coming in, the angels singing hallelujah, because we are ready. We do know our neighbor. And it's also one thing to only think about through grace. If you live alone, this doesn't have to be something you do by yourself. Like, find a partner, find a team, share. If it's hard to get out, that's okay. Like, if you don't know their names, how are you praying for them? Are you praying for your neighbors? You can just pray for them with the house number, the person who lives in 2020. Like, say a prayer for that. Take this opportunity to share. If someone's rude to you, I always think about when Jesus sends out the disciples, he sends them out two by two, which I think is important. It's important to go with someone else. And he says, if someone welcomes you, like, bless them. If someone doesn't welcome you, let's kick the dust off your sandals a little bit and move on. Like, that's okay. Your job is not to transform their life, but to point to the God who does. And this is not, again, this is not about inviting people to church. If that happens, wonderful. This is about, are you ready for Jesus coming? The day of the Lord is coming. Wake up. Can you love your neighbor? If you can, that's awesome. But I need a little work, and I bet some of you do too. And so this is just that opportunity to take some time. Advent is a wonderful time because you can, like, people give gifts randomly. And so there's a lot of cookies over there. You can pick up some cookies, support some mission, take some cookies home, take them to a neighbor, reintroduce yourself. People usually aren't that offended if you forget their name. I've forgotten so many people's names in my life. No one's ever been like, oh gosh, how dare you? And just walked away. Even though that's what we always imagine, right? You always imagine, or if you say the wrong name, that someone's just going to turn around and walk away or spit in your face. That's not going to happen, especially if you have a bag of cookies. To take that time and to share and just like get to know them, like talk about yourself. Say, I'm sorry, I haven't connected more. There's no ulterior thing going on, but it's getting us ready for Christmas, preparing our hearts to respond. Hear the good news: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. My friends, this is a world in need of saving. There is brokenness. There is brokenness around the globe. There is brokenness in this community. There is brokenness in so many of our homes and families. There is sickness. There is disease. There are things that should not have happened that have happened. The rocks themselves are crying out for a Savior. Come, Lord Jesus. Let us wake up. Let us stay alert, for the day of the Lord is coming. Christ did not come in a chariot. Christ came in the most humble form around. Let us, this Advent season, live into Christ's humility. Not stand away in our pride, but open our hearts, open our lives out of Christ's love and sharing and preparing so that we will be ready. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.